Good morning, dear brothers and sisters. I'd like to share something which I believe the Lord has been impressing in my own heart these days. And there are certain things Bible says we should not fear. We should not fear the devil. We should not fear death. We should not fear what will happen to us tomorrow. This is those of us who want to walk in the light. I was reminded of what Madame Guyon said, something like this: I am afraid of the prick of my conscience than the outcry and condemnation by all men. So if we walk carefully, hearing the voice of the Lord which speak to us through our conscience, we need not fear anything. But there are places we can see in the Bible, it says, let us fear. We have to fear something. And we can turn to Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 verse 1. Let us fear, if while a promise remains of entering his rest, and any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have good news, we have had good news preached to us just as they also. But the word that they heard did not profit them, because it was not united with faith in those who heard. For we who have heard, believed, entered that rest. So I remember a godly elder brother many years back when I came to this church told, don't just rejoice that you are in CFC. He was reminding, if we get admission in a good college like IIT, and don't just rejoice that you got the admission. If you don't study and if you don't pass, there is no benefit. And here if it says the word which they heard, it did not profit them, because it was not united with faith in their heart, and they couldn't enter a life of rest. So we've been hearing about Israelites recently, how they were conducting as the Lord was leading them. They were unwilling to believe and obey and enter into the land of Canaan, which is a picture of the life of rest. And they had this tendency to go back to Egypt when they faced a trouble. And we read in Exodus, even they tried to appoint a leader who can take them back to Egypt. It's very interesting, even after they came into the land of Canaan, they had this tendency to go back to Israel for help, which happened in the time of Hezekiah the king. And the picture that we have is a life of unrest. You know, when we think of going back to Egypt, we should not think that going into a deep sin of adultery or murder. It's a life of unrest. God expects us to live in a place of rest in our hearts. I'm not speaking about what other religions seek to enter in some particular state of mind. No, that's not what Bible calls rest. It speaks about inner rest. And I don't want to speak as an expert, brothers and sisters. I want to speak as the one who was recognized many times. We slip out of God's rest, and many times we are often so used to a life of unrest, and then we feel like when we taste a little bit of rest, we feel we are in great blessing. God expects us to live a life of rest, irrespective of our circumstances. Let's turn to Isaiah 30. We should fear a life of constant unrest, brothers and sisters. In Isaiah 30, it says in the beginning, "Woe to the rebellious children, declares the Lord, who execute a plan but not mine, and make an alliance but not of my spirit, in order to add sin to sin, who proceed down to Egypt without consulting me." Now this is the situation when the northern kingdom of Israel, they had already fallen to the powerful kingdom of Assyria, and then they started coming into the land of Judah, and they started seeking help from the land of Egypt because they couldn't trust what the Lord was asking them to do. They couldn't obey what the Lord was asking them. What was the Lord's prescription for them? It is in Isaiah 30 verse 15. What the Lord wanted them to do, it says in Isaiah chapter 30 verse 15. Thus the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel has said, in repentance and rest you will be saved. In quietness and trust is your strength. But you were not willing, and you said, no, we will flee on horses. Therefore you shall flee, and we will ride on swift horses. Therefore those who pursue you shall be swift. They were unwilling to rest. They couldn't rest in God's promises. They couldn't rest in God's commandments. They couldn't obey because they didn't trust the Lord. It's interesting, in verse 10 of the same chapter, they told even the prophets, you must not prophesy to us what is right. Speak to us pleasant words. Speak to us nice words. Prophecy illusions. Get out of the way. Turn aside from the path. Let us hear no more about the Holy One of Israel. They were unwilling. They thought God's men, God's appointed prophets, don't understand. They felt they must go and seek help from Egypt. God was very merciful with them, and God is very merciful with us, brothers and sisters. And it says in Hebrews that they couldn't enter because of disobedience. There is a beautiful picture in Exodus 14 verse 13. You know, sometimes we feel the Lord don't understand, and we have to do something. We have to control the situations. We don't think that the Lord is on the throne. We don't believe that government is resting on His shoulder. You know, Exodus chapter 14, when they were being chased by the Egyptians, They were so terrified and afraid. But Moses had a different spirit. In verse 13, Exodus 14 verse 13, Moses said to the people, "Don't fear. Stand by and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you while you keep silent." It's interesting, it came from the mouth of Moses, who wanted to fight and kill the Egyptians one by one. But he's recommending something different here. He says, stand by, stand aside, get out of the way, and be silent. And if you keep silent, the Lord will fight for you. Brothers, we lose many battles because we don't keep silent. And we speak because we know. We know the doctrine, we understand, we can spot what is the problem. But Moses, when he knew the Lord, he recommends another course of action. Stand by. Stand aside and see what the Lord is going to do. And if you keep silent, the Lord will fight for you. It's not something which we can hear a message and learn. I believe the Lord is patient as He teaches these ways. And the great men whom God used are not those who did so many things, but they've learned to not to do many things. And I see this picture. This man is silent as the Lord is working. And if we only keep silent in many circumstances in which God allows, we can see the salvation of the Lord. And you know what happened, that God delivered Israelites. He killed all the Egyptians who were chasing him. And that was a great day of mighty victory. And in the same chapter, Exodus 14, we read that they were singing the song in next chapter, Exodus 15. Moses and Israelites, they were singing a great song, because they had seen with their eyes what the Lord can do. So did they learn from that one incident? No. But then when it comes to verse 22, Exodus chapter 15 verse 22, Moses led Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. When they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah because the water was bitter. And verse 24, the people grumbled at Moses, "What shall we drink?" Now they survived 3 days in apparent victory. They didn't complain. First day they didn't get water. They had faith, and second day they didn't get water and they had faith, and third day they had faith. But then they saw the water and they were running to the water thinking, "Oh, God answered our prayer." And then they found it was bitter. And all that was in their heart came out. And they started grumbling. So, brothers and sisters, now just see the path which God has designed for them. How God could bring out what is in their heart. Now, God is not doing to condemn us, but to lift us up, to lead us into greater rest and peace in our life. That's why God allows us to be tested. To earn my living, I do work as someone who tests things, tests the quality. And many times in a normal thing, normal conditions, the things will work, and then we try to find where is this thing get, you know, where I can break these things, where I can find the fault. And the Lord is allowing circumstances to show what the real condition of our heart is. Otherwise, brothers and sisters, we are in spiritual blindness. We don't get light on our condition. And it says in Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2. Deuteronomy chapter 8 verse 2. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness, those 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether to keep his commandments or not. God knows that we are made of dust and we cannot keep his commandments without being fully controlled by the Holy Spirit, and then he wants us to know. That's why he allows circumstances in our life. We recognize that I don't have the ability. And again in Deuteronomy chapter, same chapter, verse 16. In the wilderness he fed you manna which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do good for you in the end. Otherwise you may say in your heart, my power and the strength of my hand has made this wealth. It is very easy for us, God, to lead us to a place of rest and externally. But God wants us to bring to a place of inner rest. And there we don't feel that it is this rest I have is something because of which what I did. We recognize it is the Lord's power and strength that help us to stand in our struggle. And God is not very eager for a temporary relief and comfort. That's how human beings, we look for shortcuts, we look for immediate benefits. But God's way is for us is to do good for you in the end. He wants us to endure till the end in faith, in humility, and in trust. So brothers and sisters, I just wanted to encourage you to seek the Lord to enter into a life of rest. So it's not a suggestion. The Bible says let's fear. Let's fear a life of constant unrest. And let's be diligent to enter that rest. It's not a good choice and a bad choice, but I believe the unrest is a spirit of hell, and rest and joy and peace is spirit of heaven. If you don't believe, you can turn to Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16 verse 22. There we see this poor man. He died and he was carried away by the angels. And he was sitting in Abraham's bosom. It's a picture of rest. And it says, the rich man also died and he was buried. It's quite possible somebody wrote in his tomb, rest in peace. But what is he doing in verse 24? It says, for I am in agony in this flame. He is longing for a little water from heaven. There is no rest. Bible says there is no rest for the wicked. In Isaiah 57, 20 and 21. But the wicked are like the tossing sea, for it cannot be quiet, and the waters toss up, as and its waters toss up, refuse and But there is no peace, says my God, to the wicked. Now don't feel condemned when you hear the words like this. The Lord is patient. The Lord is patient. We can see the way God led His people. God is encouraging us to come to a place of rest, no matter what the circumstances in which God places us. It's not a, as I mentioned, I'm not talking about a life where, a retired life, we don't have any tension of life, any worries and cares for the life. But a place deep in our heart, we know that the Lord is in control and His timings are perfect. His ways are above than my ways. So I can trust the Lord. I can trust and live in that life of rest. You know, it's a good comparison I found between Martha and you heard about Martha and Mary. Mary was sitting at Jesus' feet, and I found an interesting contrast with a widow from Zarephath, which we read about her in 1 Kings chapter 17. We can turn there. So, see, when Lazarus was dead, there was a lot of unrest. Martha knew that Jesus is the Son of God, and there is going to be resurrection at that last. And then all these truths she understood couldn't help her. She still tried to prevent the Lord, hindering Him, delivering Lazarus. A lot of unrest. But the Lord was merciful. The Lord encouraged and brought Lazarus back from the tomb. But I was greatly encouraged to look at this woman. And maybe we can turn there. 1 Kings chapter 17, verse 7. The Lord spoke to His servant in verse 8. The word of the Lord came to him saying, "Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." So this is God's servant Elijah, and then God wanted to give him food, because the place where he was, the brook dried up and there was no rain in that land, there was famine. And he sent this man to this Gentile woman, and he asked in verse 10, he arose and went to Zarephath, and when he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was gathering the sticks. He called her and said, "Please get me a little water in a jar that I may drink." And as she was going out, as she was going to get it, he called her and said, "Please bring me a piece of bread in your hand." You know, sometimes we land up at someone's home at the time of lunch without being invited, and we know the way we put pressure on them. And this was something like that. She was, though the Lord said, "I have commanded a widow," I don't believe she didn't grasp it, because her condition was very, very bad. And what did she say in verse 12? She said, "As the Lord your God lives, I have no bread. What I have is a handful of flour and a little oil in the jar. An almost empty bowl and an almost empty jar. And behold, I am gathering a few sticks that I may go and prepare for me and my son, that we may eat it and die." Now, what was her account balance? A little flour and a little oil, and a son who was depending upon her. She was not a Israelite, because she said, "As the Lord your God lives." She didn't have great understanding like Martha, but she knew that there is a God, true God, who lives. He's not dead, He's alive. And some hope, some faith, but the way the Lord led this man to her, She was not sitting down in depression. She was not sitting down in grumbling and complaining. She was going down and picking the sticks. I was greatly encouraged by looking at this woman. And she could see the death in front of her. Many times our faith is tested when we really see death in front of us, brothers and sisters. And she was at peace, she was at rest. So, I'm not giving you a motivational talk, sometimes we read in the social media, zero become a hero, and a tea maker become something great and all these things. But the hero is our Lord, whose eyes fall on the least. And when God sees a little faith, God works in our situations. When we learn to experience or choose this little faith and rest, God can do miracles. Brothers and sisters, what a great hope. What a great hope we can have in the God of Israel. So this tendency of unrest, the tendency to go back to Egypt for help, it is so rooted in us. And the Lord allows situations, the Lord allows circumstances where we can see our heart and be cleansed and be free from unrest in our heart. Going back to Hebrews chapter 4 verse 9. There remains a Sabbath rest for people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. Sometimes we can get into a spiritual unrest that we can think our own work can produce righteousness. But it's not a life of faith, it's not a life leaning upon God. A branch which is abiding in vine, I've never seen a branch in unrest which is abiding in vine. In fact, Paul says in Philippians chapter 3 verse 9, it's a little long verse, I want to read from 9. I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being conformed to his death. So it's a life of rest. We don't try to achieve, we obey the Lord. We have obedience of faith, not believing that our own works will bring us to a place of rest. We recognize the God who created this universe, the one who is sitting on the throne, the Lord who is controlling all things, even the hair which is falling from our head. He is my dad. I remember reading something like this. God attends the funeral of every sparrow. And he's our father. He controls this universe. So there is an inner rest in which we can live. So it's not a life of complacency where, you know, we retire from many things and then, in fact, retirement is dangerous. I want you to show this from 2 Samuel 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. Then it happened in the spring, at the time when kings go out to the battle, David sent Joab and his servants. He didn't go. It says he stayed at Jerusalem. He was resting. He didn't want to go. He was at wrong kind of rest. And in verse 2, it says, David arose from his bed and walked around on the roof of king's house. So he was relaxing. In a way, he was resting, wrong kind of rest. See this picture. He was in the roof of the king's house. And there was a similar picture. You don't need to turn there in Daniel chapter 4. Nebuchadnezzar, he was also relaxing in the roof of the royal palace. So beware of complacency, brothers and sisters. But there is a inner rest. We don't give up. We do what the Lord wants us to do, like this woman. We don't sit back in depression. We don't sit back in grumbling and complaint. And if we don't rest, we may get repentance and we don't miss entering into Lord's presence. But the devil can allow us to be a hindrance for God's work. I heard the testimony of a man who was an atheist. He was an atheist and a drunkard, and he was a headache to the believers in the village. And he died. He was used by God in some extent, and now he died. So he was a headache to the Christians, especially to the pastors. And he would go and ask different questions and confuse them. And many times he said, the pastors used to chase me. Once a pastor called him a fool, because Bible says, fool says there is no God in his heart. And another pastor, he told, I hand you over to Satan. He said, I don't know why he handed over me to Satan, because I was already in the hand of Satan. Then he says, I came across a teacher, a Christian, a real Christian. He very patiently, kindly, he answered the questions, and then he experienced a little rest as he was interacting with this man. And then he was asked to attend the prayer meeting, and this man was led to God. We often drive out people, those who are around us, by unrest in our spirit, because we don't believe God controls the situations. We don't keep quiet. We speak out of unrest. Brothers and sisters, the greatest blessing we can give to others is when there is unrest, keep quiet. Or we can go to a godly brother. So I recognize some time back I was trying to reflect many things in my heart. But I realized there was an unrest which crept in, which I didn't recognize either. It's a little unrest in my heart. No matter what the truth you have, no matter how much clarity you have, unrest is from devil. When you have unrest, you have fellowship with hell in a way, because it's not the spirit of heaven. That's why Bible says, let us fear. Let us fear a life of constant unrest. We say, brother, you don't understand what I'm going through. You don't understand how my wife is. You don't understand how my children is. You don't understand how my neighbor is. You will never enter into rest if you keep your eye on your circumstances. But if we believe that the Lord controls all our circumstances, if this faith we have, if it's genuine, then we can enter into rest. Repentance and rest. repentance and trust, things which God has joined together, the amount of faith that we really have is proportional to the amount of rest that we have in our circumstances. It's not what we have in our head. If the faith which we have cannot produce rest in our soul, it's not genuine faith. So don't feel condemned, brothers and sisters. God helps. God gives helps because we have a high priest who can sympathize with us. He knows how we feel when we are tested. When we are torn apart, when we are tempted and tested, God understands. I want to read this word, Hebrews chapter 2. Hebrews 2 verse 16. For he assuredly, he does not give help to angels, but he gives help to the descendant of Abraham. Therefore, he had to be made like his brethren in all things, that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God. So he understands what we go through. He understands every detail of our life. He understands how we pulled, how we are tested in our faith. And he is able to deliver. He is able to give us faith. And I want to remind you that song which we used to sing often. The song, it says, there is a place of quiet rest. The line goes like this: there is a place of quiet rest near to the heart of God. A place where sin cannot molest, near to the heart of God. O Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God, hold us who wait before Thee, near to the heart of God. And there is a place of comfort sweet, near to the heart of God. A place where we our Savior meet, near to the heart of God. God can keep us near to His heart. But we must be willing to let go. We must be willing to be silent and let the Lord take control. We must be willing to silent. We must be willing to obey what the Lord is speaking to us. Let's repent, brothers and sisters, of unrest. Let's live in fear that by disobedience and by unbelief, we hinder God working through us. I want to be a vessel for the Lord, and I don't want to allow the devil to bring any kind of unrest into my heart. I believe the Lord has accepted me just as I am. And I believe the Lord is in full control of every detail of my life. Like Job says, I look above, I don't see God. I look behind, I don't see Him. But I know that I will surely comfort as the Lord, as gold, as the Lord. That should be the testimony of all of us, brothers and sisters. The work which the Lord started, He will complete. He is able, like we sing in that song, He is able to carry out His plans and desires in our life. And none of us are too far from the Lord. He can stretch His hand as He was stretching His hand to lift this sinking Peter. The least of us can experience salvation. The least of us can experience His power. May God give us faith and encouragement. Amen.
Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. Our God is a God of promises. He has promised that there is a rest for all God's people. Not the rest after our death, but when we live on this earth, we can have this rest in the midst of all trials and troubles. We read in Hebrews chapter 3, and 4, that God, who has promised that there is a rest for the people of Israel, He said something that three times it is mentioned in Hebrews 3 and 4. In fact, four times it says that you shall not enter this rest. How is it possible the Lord, who has promised there is a rest, and He Himself is telling that you shall not enter the rest? In one place it says, I swear that in my wrath that you shall not enter. So what made the Lord to tell these people that you will not enter into this rest? We all can turn there in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 19. So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. They could not enter because of unbelief. Chapter 4, verse 6. Therefore, since it remains for us to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience. Brothers and sisters, these are the two things which will hinder us from entering the rest of which God has promised for us: unbelief and disobedience. We read the story in Numbers chapter 14 that people knew that God had promised that I will give you the promised land. But what did they do? People did not believe that God will help us to fight against those giants. They did not believe that God will give that land of that blessing. They didn't have hope. They had that unbelief which made God to say that you people will not enter into this rest or this land. That's the main reason, brothers and sisters, that we also don't get that rest in our hearts. God has saved us from sin, that is bringing us out of Egypt. He has given us the forgiveness of sins. He has justified us, redeemed us. We all believe that. But if I say that, but God also has promised that sin shall not be master over you. You need not be anxious because God is your Father. He will never allow us to be tested beyond our liberty. But what do I say? I say, no, Lord, sin is too great for me. My flesh is weak. I was brought up in a such and such way. My habit is like that. I am weak. This addiction is so strong for me. It will take time, Lord. I will not be able to overcome sin. It might take some more time, some more years. Brothers and sisters, that is the lie of the devil. That is unbelief. That unbelief will hinder us from entering the rest which God has promised for us. And in some situation, when God takes us through different circumstances, when God takes us through some difficulties, we think that why is this happening to me? Why only me? Why are things not turning out? I am praying, but nothing is happening. That might be a question we will be asking. Why only me? Some people might think, why is it not happening? Even after so many years, I am praying about these things. That is an unbelief. What God says in 1 Corinthians 10:13, He will never, whenever God says, when the scripture says, never means never, He will never allow us to be tested beyond our strength. Do I really believe that? Yes, I believe in my mind, I believe in the meetings when I sit here, but when I actually go through that situation, I think sometimes God allows me to test it beyond my ability. No, it's not true. That's unbelief. So, in Romans 8:28, we see that all things works for good. Many times I also was understanding in that way that all things works for my good. No. God causes all things works for my good. What a promise, brothers and sisters. Things might go wrong. Things might go against our plan. I expected something, but something went. But even my failures, even my mistakes, God can cause for my good. In the early 18th century, there was a godly woman. She has written so many gospel songs, hymns. Her name is Fanny Crosby. When she was 6 weeks old, as a small newborn baby, she got cold and she had some infection in her eyes. She was taken to a doctor. Doctor prescribed some medicine, which was a wrong medicine. She lost her eyesight for the rest of her life. She lived for 94 years as a blind woman. But she has been such a blessing to many people around the world. She has written so many songs, almost around more than how many thousand songs she has written. One of this very blessed song which has helped many people around the world is Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. How can she say that as a blind person? And in one, the line comes, this is my story. Okay, sister, what is your story? When I was 6 weeks old, they took me to a doctor. doctor gave a wrong medicine and I lost my eyesight. Oh, this is your story. What is it there about to sing about it? This is my song. Okay, what do you want to sing? Praising my Savior all the day long. One godly elder brother said this. If we were there in that situation, our song would have been, this is my story. I went to the doctor. He gave the wrong medicine. What an evil doctor is. Cursing the doctor all the day long. We'll be cursing the doctor all the day throughout their life. We'll be cursing the doctor. We'll be cursing the hospital. Because it was their mistake, I lost the sight. But this sister, godly sister, she was praising the Lord. She says that one best thing which happened in my life, that I was blind, that when I open my eyes in heaven, I will see the first person is Jesus. What a life, brothers and sisters. God will cause all things for our good. This faith, this belief, this truth, this promise should bring rest in my heart. And another thing which we say in disobedience, Hebrews chapter 4 verse 6. Because of disobedience, we may not be able to enter this rest. There are a well-known, very good passage which everybody knows. Most of the Christians in the world around will know this. Just turn there, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29. This is the call which Jesus gave, an invitation. It says in 27, come to me. Jesus says, come to me. All who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, everybody in this world are heavy laden with sin, lot of problems, everything. As soon as they say, hey, you come to me, I'll give you rest. Everybody wants to come, everybody wants to take this rest. That's a good thing. Jesus says, I will give you rest. Come to me. So, God says that, I'll give you forgiveness of sins. I will justify you. I'll sanctify you. And everybody wants this. And if you see, here he says, come to me. I will give you rest. So Jesus is giving a rest to me. But something much greater than that is we see in verse 29. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. We call ourselves children of God. We have been redeemed by the blood of Jesus. We have come to Jesus. We have got that rest. But the question is, have we really found that rest in our souls? What is this rest in our souls when things don't go as per our plan and we don't have this what we expected? Do we really sit calm and composed that God is in control of everything? Do we have that, or we are getting agitated? Oh, this didn't happen. It didn't go as per my plan. We are getting agitated. That shows that I don't have rest in my soul. If I have rest in my soul, then I will not have anything which will disturb me. There will be no slight fluctuation in my spirit. I will be calm, composed. So how do I get that? How do I find this rest for my soul? It's through obedience. You see therein. First he says, come to me. Second, in verse 29 it says, take my yoke. And third, he says, learn from me. So what is this obedience? Is I should take the yoke of Jesus. So we heard many times from this pulpit that don't put any yoke on your wife or husband or anybody. So why do I put a yoke on my wife or husband? Is I don't have any yoke. Suppose if I am yoked with Jesus, if I take up the yoke of Jesus, I will not put any yoke on anybody. So a person who has taken the yoke of Jesus will never put any yoke on others. So that's the first thing, brothers and sisters, which I have to obey. Take up the cross. Take up the yoke of Jesus, which is easy. He says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Generally, burden means it is heavy. But he says, my burden is light. That's the peace, that's the rest the Lord wants to give us, brothers and sisters. We can ask the Lord, Lord, I want to have this rest in my soul. I want to take up your yoke. I want to take up the cross which you have taken, Lord. Give me that. And I can learn from Jesus. What I can learn from Jesus? To humble myself in all circumstances. To humble myself in all situations. Never to justify. Never to revile back. Never to take revenge. Never to defend myself. Suffering for the sins of others. this is what we can learn from Jesus. And He can really help us to overcome all our unrest in our souls through these two things, faith and obedience. There's a song, Trust and Obey, there is no other way. Yes, brothers and sisters, we have to trust God's promises and we have to believe that He will never allow us to be tested beyond our ability. We can take up the yoke of Jesus and we can learn from Him in all situations. Every day we can learn from Jesus how to handle different situations, and He will really hold our hand and He can teach us. Only He will teach people who are willing to learn from Him. We can just look at Jesus and we can think how Jesus would have handled this situation. He always depended on the power of the Holy Spirit. He always depended on the help from His Father. If we also go in that path, He will definitely help us, brothers and sisters. One last word which we can see in Jeremiah chapter 6. How to get this rest for our souls. Jeremiah chapter 6 verse 16. Thus says the Lord, stand by the ways and see and ask for the ancient path. We have godly brothers who have gone before us. We can go to them and ask and see, brothers, show us the ancient path, how to walk this new covenant life, how to become like Jesus. They will really tell us through their experience, because God has shown them in many ways in their lives. Where the good way is and walk in it, and you will find rest for your souls. So when we ask, when we are willing to go and ask the Holy Spirit, when we are willing to go and ask the godly brothers, brothers, show us the way, how we can get the rest for our souls. They will show the ancient path, that's taking up the cross, taking the yoke of Jesus, learning from Him, humbling ourselves in all situations. Definitely the Lord will help us to have this rest in our souls. It's not only enough that we have rest which Jesus gives, which we have already got it, but He wants us to find that rest for our souls. I believe the Holy Spirit will help us in the coming days not to get disturbed by what's happening around us, but always depend on the Holy Spirit, so that we will have this rest for our souls in all circumstances, so that we can become more like Jesus. Amen.